Hello, and thank you so much for being a part of the Prayer Line, Life Enrichment Ministries International Prayer Line, reaching across the globe and to the four corners of the earth. We thank you for being on today, and we are excited about what God is doing. We will open up the prayer line today in prayer, and we welcome Holy Spirit. Have your way in this prayer line today. Lead and guide us into all truth. For there is none like you in heaven, on earth, or under the earth that can compare. And we praise your holy name, Lord, for this time today. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you as people are gathering and preparing to be on today, that you are making a way for them, Lord, in Jesus' name, to be encouraged and inspired in the name of Jesus. We'll spend some time praying in our prayer language. Hare mote nano more ke si rabba sore ke candiaro moshe. Ire ke story alabashi tiande le me se. Horia kande shane de re ke si shi horia la ma se le. Hiro mo si shi andara ba se. Hira koria la ramo se rasi hando robo ke. Mi kundia pi si andia re ki o mi a shi andere. Lord, we present our bodies to you today as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to you, which is our reasonable service, Lord God. We declare today that we are not being conformed to this world, but we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are becoming more and more and more like you every single day, Lord. That is our desire. That is our prayer, and that is your prayer, God, for us, Lord. Make us, mold us, shape us into your image and into your likeness, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that we will be your hands and your feet. We will be a reflection, God. We will be a reflection, Lord, of your glory, Lord God, that we will be a reflection, God, that the light that you are shining upon us will not be eclipsed, God, but it will shine forth brilliantly in glory, Lord God, as you reflect, your Son reflects upon our lives in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Re ke on diara ma kore ke she tenderere. Mi son re ki asi shi andre ke morebe ke re ki 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 shotoro kora kandara. Birome se tenderere more accandere a corre che scendere bete. Come a rechisi ori a cambio tosto rechi a coromo con di arabaca. Hire chi di un burri bosci a tando robo condere. Hire a candoro corre che. Horiamba barreke soro kundiando robo sotoria
doña elejo simando
haleluya soriande re shere ke robo reki anda robo se ho barramo shanderere me sora ba. Lord, we ask, God, we want to see your glory, Lord. We want to see your glory, Lord God, just as Moses prayed, Lord, that we would know you, that we would experience you, that we would see your glory, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that today we call upon you, Lord. We call upon your name, Lord, and we ask, Lord, of you. We thank you, God, that you promise as we call upon you that you will answer, God, that you will respond. And you will show, God, show us great and mighty things which we do not know, Lord. That you will show us great and mighty things, Lord God, that we do not know. That you will unveil mysteries, God, and the secret things, Lord. And that you will bring revelation, God. That you will bring direction. That you will bring transformation, Lord. And that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide us into all truth, Lord. all truth, God, that will your Holy Spirit will teach us, Lord, and will direct us, Lord God. And so today we call upon your name. We call upon your name. We take this time to call upon you, God. We take this time to call upon your name, Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you, Lord, that you promised to respond in Jesus' name, that you promised to answer and to respond to the call of your people. Hira baba sori andara la more kiki a se ki andobo si shi androbo kori alaba. Hira amobora basi tiare ke shi andara bo se shataraba. Lord, we cry out to you, Lord God. We cry out to you for your holiness, God. We cry out to you for your righteousness, Lord God, to prevail, Lord, in our life, God, in your church, Lord. We cry out to know you more, Lord. We cry out to know you, God. We want to know you, Lord. We want to know. We want to experience your glory. We want to experience your presence, Lord God. And so we ask, God, that your holiness would be in our lives, for you say that without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And you, God, you say in your word, Lord God, that that we are to desire, Lord God, we are to desire holiness, we are to desire to live righteousness, Lord, that we are to pursue holiness, God, because without holiness, no man will see you, Lord. That is our cry, God. We want to see you. We want to experience you, God. We want to have heaven on earth, God. We want to experience you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that as David prayed, Lord, that we are praying today that you would create in us a clean heart and that you would renew a right spirit within us, not casting us away from your presence, not taking away your Holy Spirit, but we are pursuing holiness, God. We are pursuing righteousness. We are pursuing, God, to be set apart, to be consecrated, to be sanctified by your fire, Lord, by the fire of God, the fuego of God, the fuego de Dios, the fire of God, Lord God, for you say you would baptize it with the Holy Spirit and with the fire of God, Lord. And so we ask for your Holy Spirit, your fire, to purify, to set aside our hearts, our minds, our bodies, in Jesus' name. We cover this topic today in prayer that we're going to discuss, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're opening the ears now, even now, to prepare the ears of those that hear the message, Lord. We thank you that you're opening the hearts, God, of those who would hear and receive the implanted word of God, that it will produce fruit, Lord. We thank you, God, that it will produce, God, a harvest, that it will bring transformation, revelation, and elevation in your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, we praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, we just thank God. Today we are just going to discuss holiness, and I will begin, and Dr. Gwyneth will share a little bit later. And it is something that the Lord is really bringing to to light and to head within the body of Christ. Something that he is desiring, in his word, he says, even in Romans chapter 6, he says that God desires that we are slaves of righteousness. Before we knew him, we were slaves of unrighteousness. But now God is saying that we are to be slaves of righteousness. We are to be slaves of holiness. And even in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9 through 20, it talks about that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that are we to take members of Christ, and are we to join them with a harlot? Because as we join ourselves in sexual immorality, we are becoming one flesh with the spirit, with the body, with the soul that we are joining together with. And so today we're going to just talk about what God's desire for us is as we possess our bodies for the kingdom of God. And as we break soul ties, as we break ungodly soul ties, as we break allegiances, as we break covenants with spirit husbands and spirit wives, which are also known as incubus and succubus, as we come out of alignment with unclean spirits, and as we line ourselves with the Holy Spirit, and as we become one in body, mind, and spirit with the Holy Spirit, as we surrender our life, as we surrender our body to God as members of Christ, as belonging to Christ, because he has purchased us with his blood, the precious blood, the perfect blood of Jesus Christ. And that means that we are no longer our own, but we have been bought with a price. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to the Lord. We belong to God. We were purchased. We were made sons of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And so our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are members of Christ Jesus. And the Lord is wanting his people to begin to act like our bodies are the temple and are members of the Lord. He is wanting us to act as if we belong to God in every area of our lives. You know, it's said that the world, the culture, has really begun to have a very skewed perspective on sex and sexuality. And we are even in the church tries to become relevant to culture. They are beginning to come like culture, and they're beginning to, instead of influence culture, but they are beginning to become influenced by culture, which is not the order that God has designed. And so in that, we are seeing an appeasement, and we are seeing a transforming according to the world's mindset and according to culture and according to, you know, what you know, the culture feels like is good, which is trying to go, which is always antichrist. It's always against the word of God. It's always against the Bible. And the antichrist spirit is redefining what marriage is. It's redefining, and it's saying marriage is not between one man, one woman, but marriage can be between one woman and a woman, or two men, or someone and a dog, or a, you know, some animal or a cat. Or marriage can be, you know, between, you know, the spirit husbands or spirit wives. Or marriage can be between me and myself. And so culture is trying to twist and redefine what God has deemed holy as marriage between one man and one woman, honorable in his eyes. And so we have to be so aware of the tactics of the enemy, and we have to be so set on pursuing holiness. We have to be set on pursuing righteousness, pursuing what God has desired, which is pursuing his way of doing and his way of being right, which is holiness. It's sanctification. It's righteousness. It's not uncleanness, but it's cleanness in God's sight, in body, mind, and spirit. And so while the word of God never changes, he is the same yesterday, today, forevermore. We can't change his word, even to become relevant to a society that wants to take, you know, God out of every aspect of culture. We can't change, you know, God's word. We might change the ways that we, you know, communicate the gospel. Like in Apostle Paul's days, he didn't have internet radio. He didn't have Facebook. He didn't have Twitter. So we have different tools to communicate the gospel, but we should never, ever, ever, ever try to water down the word of God in order to appease and to fit in culture, because that's what many people are doing. They are trying to, instead of offending people, they are trying to appease people, and they're instead offending God. And then God is saying, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And without righteousness, without holiness, no man will see God. Without being set apart, no man will see God. God is a God of holiness. He's a God of sanctification. He's a God of righteousness. He's a God of justice. He's a God of judgment. He's a God of recompense. And so God is saying that we have to line up according to God's word. We have to line up according to his plan because he does not change. He does not change. He is still a loving father that desires for his children to reflect his glory and to reflect his image and his righteousness. So as Paul says, we say today, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. And the Lord is saying today that our bodies are his temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And today we are breaking off any covenants, any soul ties, any wrong or faulty thinking that has tried to come and pull the blinders over your eyes so that you cannot see the truth. We declare by the blood of Jesus Christ that those blinders are being removed, that any veil that the enemy has tried to veil your life with, it is being removed in Jesus' name. Any area that the enemy has tried to block you from moving forward, where he has tried to block you from progress, where he has tried to block God's purpose and his destiny over your life, we decree and declare right now that it is broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, any ties to the demonic or the occult or the satanic realm that you have legally given Satan access to, whether it's through masturbation, whether it's through pornography, whether it has been through abuse, whether it's been through rape or molestation, whether it's been through opening the doors to lust and fantasy, whether it's been opening the doors through adultery and fornication or homosexuality, we decree and declare today that it is broken off of your life in Jesus' name. We declare freedom in this place. We declare the freedom of God to rule and reign in your lives in Jesus' name. We declare today that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we declare that the door that the enemy has had access to over your life, over our lives, is shut in Jesus' name. And today is a new day. We declare freedom. For the word says that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Whom the Son, whom the blood of Jesus Christ liberates and makes free, is free. It's free from Incubus. It's free from Succubus. It's free from Belial. It's free from the spirit, unclean spirit of Jezebel. It's free from the unclean perversion and idolatry of Baal. It's free from the perversion, idolatry of Molech. In Jesus' name, you are free. We are free in Christ. We are free through the blood of Jesus Christ to live a sanctified and a set apart and a holy life. And we declare that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We reject and we reject and renounce any pornography or anything that we have opened up the door through our eye gate, through our ear gate, through our mouth gate, where we have given the enemy access. In the name of Jesus, we reject it and renounce it in the name of Jesus. We reject it and renounce it in the name of Jesus. We reject and renounce any access of the enemy. And we declare that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We declare that we shall know how to possess our bodies in righteousness, in holiness, in being set apart in Jesus' name. Romans 6 and 15, it also says, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but we are under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom You present yourself as slave to obey. You are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness, that means that your members were open access to the enemy to do what he wanted to do. Slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. So now, he says, so now, in the same way as you presented your members as slaves to lawlessness, in Christ we are now to present our members as slaves, as servants, in submission to God, as members of slaves of righteousness for holiness, for sanctification, to be set apart. And as single people, if you are single, you belong completely to the Lord, completely to the Lord. And even as Paul says it, in singleness, you have the opportunity to devote yourself completely to the concern of the Lord, while those who are married have to devote themselves to the things of their spouse. The benefits of being single is that we are only concerned about the things that concern God. And so that means that we are completely set apart for God's purpose, for his kingdom, and for his glory. We don't have to concern ourselves with a spouse or with a mate, but we are completely and wholly slaves of righteousness for the kingdom of God. And for the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and is a light unto our path. God, we thank you, Lord, that we are no longer slaves of unrighteousness. We are no longer slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness, God. We are no longer slaves of the Antichrist spirit that wants to steal, kill, and destroy, but that we are slaves of righteousness. We are slaves of holiness, that our bodies are members of God. They don't belong to us, but they belong to you, God. And therefore, we will glorify you in our body and our spirit, which belong to you, God. We will glorify you in our body and our spirit, which belong to you, God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for a level of freedom over your sons and your daughters. We thank you, God, for a new level of deliverance and breakthrough in the name of Jesus. We thank you for freedom. We thank you for deliverance, God. We thank you, Lord God, for freedom, Lord. For you say, God, that every sin that a man does is outside of his body. But they that sin sexually sins against his very own body. And so we break, God. We break that off of your children, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for a new level of freedom and deliverance for every person under the sound of my voice. We thank you for a new level of freedom and deliverance for the body of Christ as a whole, God. We thank you for breaking off, Lord God, even the stigmas that have been associated with speaking and talking about your desire for the sexuality of your children, God. We thank you for breaking off any stigmas or any misperceptions of who you are, God, and what your desire is for our sexuality, God. We thank you for breaking off and uncovering and unveiling where the enemy has tried to blind the eyes of your people, God, through adultery, God, through lust, through fornication, Lord, where, God, even leaders, God, haven't been able to overcome, Lord, God. They've been bound and they've suffered in secret and in silence until it's too late, Lord God, and they're overtaken by their sin, God, and their entanglement, Lord. We would ask that you would bring a holy revival across the the world, across the body of Christ, that you would bring a holy fire that would sweep across your body, the body of Christ, that would burn out everything that is not like you, every mindset, everything that would try to easily entangle and ensnare your people from completing and accomplishing the purpose that you've called them to accomplish. God, we would ask that there would be a holy revival that would penetrate your pastors, your prophets, your leaders, your bishops, your evangelists, Lord God. There would be a holy fire and a hunger that would stir up within them for righteousness and holiness. For God, you are God of holiness, and we can't see awakening. We can't see revival before we are holy angels. We can't see the awakening, the great awakening that your church is praying for, if we aren't living according to holiness and sanctification and righteousness. For you desire vessels, God, vessels of honor, vessels of righteousness, vessels of purity that you could manifest through, God, that you could manifest your glory, Lord. For you said that you are searching throughout the whole earth for someone that you could show yourself mighty through. And we know you are holy, God, and you're looking for holy vessels, Lord God. You're righteous, and you're looking for righteous vessels, not talented vessels, or gifted orators, or gifted speakers, or gifted entertainers, God. But you are looking for gifted people in the area of holiness, people who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God, that you are looking for people, God. You are looking for people that prayed like David, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and renew a right spirit within me. God, you are looking for men and women like that, Lord, that are people after your heart, that pursue your heart of holiness, that pursue your heart of righteousness. So we ask, Lord, that you would raise up an army, God, a remnant who are set apart, holy and completely yours, that you can use without limit, that you can manifest your glory through, Lord God, that won't bring a reproach to your kingdom, God, but that will bring glory to your name, that will bring honor to your name, that will bring glory and honor to your name, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask for the nations. We ask for the awakening. We ask to see your glory, Lord. We want to see your glory like Moses prayed and cried out. We want to see your glory, God. We want to see your glory, not gifts and talents and performance, but we want to see your manifestation of your glory, God. We want to see you. We want you back in our church, in our churches. We want you back, God, in the church in America, in the church in Africa, in the church in Asia and South America. We want your glory to return, Lord God. We want to see your glory. Awaken your people. Revive your people to love you and to hunger and thirst for righteousness. In Jesus' name. And let the revival and the awakening begin in us. Let us set ourselves on fire, Lord, so that others will come and watch us burn for you, burn for your kingdom, burn for your glory. In Jesus' name. Iria robo kore shene. Korya la 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 si shi arre ke re mo so so mo sha me ne. Si ra ma la 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 ma so re ke ne ne. So si ya ha re sho ra ha me ne.
Amen. 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 You know, she's been talking about the did you mention Icarus and Succubus spirits? I hadn't been in the room, but I got this revelation about so many priests have been responsible for the sexual molestation of children. And we have to know that the Holy Spirit. But how many of you know that scotch makes you feel one way? And vodka makes you feel another way? Or they have, I think, what Hennessy feels one way, and gin another way. Well, throughout, and we could go on and on with all the different white wines and red wines. And I just was, you know, I was actually in the other room, and I thought, when we don't rely on the Holy Spirit and all these other spirits, like pharmaceuticals, which is derivative pharmakia, which the enemy uses to make us our psyche. The pharmakia is derivative of your psyche, your mental alertness, your soul. And the enemy will do anything he can. But wine can make you feel lust. Some people say when they drink, they feel that had that sexual feeling. When can you imagine within communion, there are different theological perspectives of communion, but we know we use it as symbolic that the wine, the blood, and that the body. And then there was a theological aspect that came through Catholicism that you eat the whole body and you drink all the wine. So if you have priests that are drinking all this wine, I'll never forget when I was a freshman in college and I had went to Mass because it was right across the street from our dormitory. And I went in there, and all the priests did communion. And then they sat down at the table with all the college students drinking big glasses of wine. You know, the theology is to drink the remains. Well, that can trigger a spirit, and it can awaken up our sexual desires, because we're human beings, we're spiritual beings, and we're sexual beings. And one thing that we teach in our seminars a lot to young people, don't awaken. The Psalm of Solomon, don't awaken love before it's time. Don't stir up. Don't focus on, and our society has become so desensitized, and with the spirit drinks, that's why you see some places they call it spirits, because basically what it is, it's the spirits that are in operation, and they're working in the people. I think about most people who we're exposing the Belial spirit. You think about most people who have been gang raped. Think about football players. You have all the football players. They get around. They all start drinking. They have the one cheerleader who's there and she's drinking. And before you know it, what? They've all have gang raped her. That's a Belial spirit. What a Belial spirit does, a lot of times it's associated with drugs or associated with alcohol, but it will come in and to kill and to steal and to destroy. and we can go into more depth on this, but that Jezebel spirit was in operation even with the Belial spirit. So, you know, we've seen so many pastors fall, and there is like the enemy has tried to release this spirit upon the body of Christ and even the children of God. I don't know how much Star got into the part where at night any of you on the line that have been masturbating or have had spirit husbands, people with tumors and things where these spirits are ejaculating and making people actually masturbate or have orgasms in their sleep where these spirits have come and laid on people and have had sexual intercourse. These are from spirits. They can be spirits of your past, spirits that you've invited in, and they're really trying to come to actually to attack the body of Christ so that they can't walk into the fullness of what God has. So you think about the scripture comes to, I'm thinking about now is Hannah. Remember in the scripture where Eli thought she was drunk, and Eli said to her, how long are you going to be drunk? Put your wine away from you. And he was telling her, and she was actually crying because she wanted to have a son. But she basically says to him, I'm not a wicked woman. Why would I? She tells him this in the temple. I'm crying out because I want a son. I'm not drunk from that. She said, I'm crying out. I'm seeking the Lord because I've poured my soul out before the Lord. I don't drink intoxicating drinks because drinking, you know, I heard a youth pastor one time. He said, I came out of the world. I'm trying to get freedom. Why do I want to go to a leadership meeting with the youth pastors and they're pulling out 40s or whatever they call them, or pouring out beer and they got wine and they're acting like the world? I'm trying to get delivered of that. But sometimes the enemy, what he'll do, he'll creep in to the body of Christ and into the churches, and we're wondering why we're not experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit, because these other unholy spirits are creeping into our church, and culturally we're trying to say it's okay, it's the norm. Oh, you're being religious. Come on, Jesus turned water into wine. He was a bartender. Jesus was the bartender at the wedding, you know, and all of that. And we know even in our culture at nightclubs or at places they serve liquor, they will have signs, you know, through the health department within the actual bathroom saying, if you are pregnant or going to get pregnant, don't drink. So that's a whole nother topic. But because we're dealing with this Belial spirit, but we know that with this Belial spirit, even in the King James version of what we just read of 1 Samuel 1:13-16, she's saying, count not thy handmaiden for a daughter of Belial. This is what she's saying. That Belial spirit, it needs to be exposed in the body of Christ, because so many of our pastors and leaders and ministers, when they're tired or they're not, as the world says, on their game, or as we would say, you're not physically and spiritually rested and fed, these Belial spirits can come. But Eli, he thought she was drunk. But the spirit of Belial, it works through alcohol and drunkenness, but it can also operate in soul ties. That's why women shouldn't flirt, or if people have been on the line, if you've been into prostitution, those spirits will try to follow. They will try to follow you. We actually had on Saturday, we had all the women there, and I said, every man you've ever slept with, I want you to write his name down. And one of the ladies through the interpreter said, well, all my children or by different men, and they were, you know, they were laughing and having fun. I mean, they really was really open, but we went through a deliverance there. Like, and I said, if you can't remember the man you slept with, try to remember the room or the hotel or something, because those spirits of lust and perversion will follow you through life. And one of the things within the DNA of the body, I don't know if you quote it, 1 Corinthians, it says the body, what you do outside the body, but what's inside the body, which is sexual sin, it can destroy, it actually defiles you. And even speaking of that word defile, so many people in the body of Christ say, well, the word of God says the bed is undefiled. You can do anything in it. And, you know, that's a whole nother topic. But back to the point, when you have all these engagements and sperm is the point I'm bringing out, enters into the woman's body, what ends up happening is that DNA stays in you for life. And it never leaves you. Can you imagine you have the DNA of every man in your body that you have ever slept with? That stays, and you can study that. So the point that we're getting at, this Belial spirit, it can operate that way as well as through drunkenness. But it's a way to break it. What it does, it breaks down your morals, and it opens up people to lust. It opens up people into a perversion spirit. And alcohol and drunkenness, they operate under the strong man. And that strong man and that stronghold goes back to that Belial spirit. But you don't have to be drunk or drink even for that Belial spirit to try to come and to attack your body. So it's even a known fact that a lot of children who have been molested, or even alcoholic children or parents, they're often victims of sexual abuse, even including incest. So a lot of times with fathers, they get drunk, and before you know it, they're in the bed with their children. A lot of time that spirit overpowers them, and so you're dealing with that spirit of molestation, and they become victims. And so it can also open the door of spirits of rape, as I had said, and even spirits of date rape, as I had mentioned earlier about the football teams and people, you know, are just, I don't know if anybody has been raped or gang raped, or if you know of someone, a lot of times it's the alcohol that is behind that. So this is just something that we want to deal with, because even Proverbs, it warns us in Proverbs 23:31-33, it says, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At last, it bites like a serpent, and it stings. Can you imagine somebody getting bit by a snake, or stings like a viper? Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. So it shows the connection between the spirit of perversion and drunkenness. And what does it mean to pervert something? What does it mean when something is normal? Or what does it mean abuse? Abuse is abnormal use. So it's what's normal, the enemy will try to make it abnormal. It's not that sex is bad, or because God, he made it between one man and one woman. And the reason why he doesn't want us to commit adultery, or as the scripture, fornication, because what? It defiles our own body. But when you have one man and you have one woman, and maybe that man has had sex with four other women. Maybe he has a thing for young women. And then maybe they have a set thing for old men, and they've had sex with seven or eight men. And if they have five women that's had sex with seven men, seven times five is 35. And then he goes home and takes that to his wife and has sex with her. Those are 35 spirits that are operating through that man because he's had, and he's putting them into his wife. So back to, and that brings about a Belial spirit. Did you tell them about the man who was engaged? Okay. Well, okay. So there was a man that was engaged to a lady. And at night in his sleep, he would have this man come and beat him up in his sleep. It was a spirit husband. This is something the church doesn't talk about, but I think it needs to be exposed. So that the enemy can be cast down and we can be set free in walking in the fullness of what God has for us. You ever hear people say, I was sleeping, something came and pinned me down? Or those are demons, those are demonic forces. When you open up your spirit realm, I even had a minister one time say, and I know this, and we plead the blood over everyone here, he was teaching a bunch of other ministers and saying, if you're single or you're not married, you imagine a penis, you imagine a vagina, as long as it's not a person, and you can masturbate. No, those are spirits that come in, that you are inviting spirit husbands, and they are around you, and they're like, I'm married to her, because it's a spirit realm. And so that's back to the Belial spirit, and we'll go ahead and I know we need to pray. Because we're on this Mozambique internet here. But it says here with Proverbs 23 and 31 to 33, it's like a serpent, that it's like a viper. We don't want to be bit. So with this connection back to perversion, it means to call or away from what is good or true, are morally right. Come on, everybody. We got to really just say it's not a religious spirit. You know, just say, look, I want to do this thing right. God, what is morally right? This is what I don't understand. Why is it when Hollywood, why is it when Hollywood and there's somebody who's married and that married person, they go out and they say, somebody famous's name was married to this famous person and they committed adultery. Even the world knows what's morally right, but they can't practice because Belial is all over the place because they're having their sexual orgies, they're getting into perversion, they're getting to masturbation, they're getting into having four and five women, wife swapping, they're doing it on TV, but it's the headline news. He fornicated, or so people know what's perverse and what's right. But then, and it's another lesson, we won't get to it today, but there's reprobation, and we don't teach that. The Word of God, Jesus says, in the Word of God, it says, if you want to continually do these things that are wrong, you'll be turned over to a reprobate mind, which means you won't know the difference between what is right and what is wrong, because your conscience has been seared and God has given us and he's opened up to us to say, you know, what's right. And you might say, is that God talking to me? Is that God speaking? Is that him speaking to me? Am I to do it this way? You know, is it, you know, with it's black or white, you know, there's just not the gray areas there, but that's what pervert means. And just to cause you to turn away from what is good and true and morally right, what is corrupt, or to cause you to turn aside what is from what is generally in. And I believe that's where our world is coming to. It's that we're accepting the good. The, you know, what's bad is good. What's good is bad. We always say, I'm bad. I think Michael Jackson. You know, and it's like, hey, you bad, brother, you this, you that. You know, it's just twisting. What is wicker? I used to have my little wicker chairs from out on my porch, wicker. It's twisted. The enemy will take what is twisted. But I believe that sexual perversion, it's become rampant in all of our nations. And dealing with this issue in Africa, and the reason why we're on this topic, because we're dealing with a lot of perverts. We're dealing with spirit husbands, where these warlocks and witches, they go into these girls and they have sex with them. They claim their souls, but it's just not in this culture. It's in every culture because, you know, as Dad would say, sin's to blame. He just said all the time, sin's to blame. But it's there. And some of the women that we minister to, and you know, we've been here 4 months now. They're like, well, my husband, our culture believes in having more wives, and I don't want to be. Why? I'm just tired of it, you know. Because so for us to even receive our birthright, even Reuben, I was reading about him last week or this week. He lost his birthright. Why? Because he slept with Jacob's concubine. Solomon, come on. He was the wisest man on earth. And God was pleased with him. And he met with the king, what's her name? King Sheba. And then he had 700 wives. 700! That sounds like a sexual perversion. And God told him, what did he tell him? He lost his blessing after that. God was so angry. And not only that, he had 300 concubines. And God said, don't deal with those spirits. You better stay with those spirits. That you better stay with the people that love me. But he went out and he had all his women because he thought that because God was on his side, he had all this favor. He was blessed of God, and God was so pleased with him. He said, I bless you, Solomon. Because you didn't ask for, what is it, the word say, riches. You didn't ask for death of your enemies to die. You didn't ask for, was the third thing. He said, but you asked for wisdom to lead his people. But he said, stay away from those foreign women. And so he said, because those idols, they will overtake you. And dealing here in Africa, there's some spirits here. These Africans will say, don't deal with calling and conjure up these spirits where with all this drumming. And there was a funeral here the other day, and the how they do things. You don't call back the dead. You don't deal with that. That's a whole other topic. But back to him, he after that, he was finished. God said, you did what was immoral. I told you don't mess with those women because they don't serve the same. They don't serve me. They serve the Baal, the Baal gods. They serve the Belial gods that we're talking about. That's where the Asherah poles, where you see women in dancing in bars. They go up across this thing and they slide down with and as a snake down these. You know what that is? It's the Asherah pole. Is pole dancing. He started getting with those wives, 300 concubines. That's 1,000 women. See, if they each had 5 men, that's 5,000 men, and then they're having sex with him, and oh my goodness, it just multiplies. Those demons took over, and he lost his blessing. So it's better to do it God's way. And in the church, you know, a lot of times, you know, we have interpreters. They're like, you want me to say that? I'm like, yeah. If we don't deal with it in the church, who is going to deal with it? And we've been, even our young people and older people that are trying to live abstinence, a lot of young people think to have anal sex, to have somebody to sodomize you in your rectum that and you still have your hymen, that is not of God. And then to have all that bowel go into your vagina, that's how diseases are caused amongst and we have a high where we are right now. I think we have what, five here that are HIV positive. Right here, we with them every day. Then they're second. They got it season one. Kids here, they got it through birth. And theirs wasn't through drugs. It was through this particular was through sex, and they were born with it. But there has to, because there's laws. There's laws of reciprocity. There's sowing. There's reaping. In everything that we do, there's a sowing aspect and there's a reaping aspect. And you're talking about generational. So here these, actually we bought material. We got here trying to get the sewing machine. I went and bought material for all the girls here, African material. So we're going to teach them how to sew and make skirts and all that. But that was just kind of a little side note here. But here they're generational. They probably came three generations. I think Ollie, she works with the kids there, and I mean with or Sheila. And I think that one of the funerals that I did, it was of a three-year-old child died of AIDS. Now these kids here yesterday, the house mother was fussing at them because they hadn't taken their medicine for 2 days, and she didn't want them in the hospital. But you know they're eating good and so forth and so on. But those are the things that, you know, that not that God puts on us, that we have an umbrella over us. And God says, this Solomon, I told you don't sleep with those women. Reuben, you lost your birthright. You were the firstborn. But because you didn't obey my law and you slept with Jacob, which is Israel, you slept with his concubine, you lose your birthright. And it goes to Joseph. And we're wondering why we aren't blessed. But I'm talking about this today because my heart really goes out to the pastors, because the enemy will get them to a point, try to get them to a point when they become vulnerable, and these Belial spirits will try to come in from either past things that they've done. And those of you know that with Jimmy Swaggart, it was said that when he was a child that he had problems with bestiality. But he didn't deal. That's why all these people with these dogs in the bed and these cats in the bed and you know, and sucking it on licking on your feet and all that, and licking your toes. And those spirits can, it's a spirit. And he dealt with that. And you wonder why, how can he get up and blow up in ministry? And he probably got tired one day, just like, was that Elijah? And he was running from Jezebel, you know, after he didn't call down fire because he was tired and he was hungry. And that's what the enemy will do when you're vulnerable. He'll try to bring these spirits, and that's what happened with him. And the next thing he knows, those spirits revisit him, those soul ties that he had when he was young. And the next thing he knows, he has a beautiful wife, and he's out at the hotel, and we're like crying out because he's with a prostitute. That's a Belial spirit that will visit, and it'll if you're not delivered from that, and if the church doesn't deal with it. And he went through a group of, I had my assembly when I was working on my doctorate. The way I knew that one of the Assemblies of God ministers, and I won't say his name for confidentiality, but he was in a actual group, but he never got delivered with it. I mean, come on, you sitting in a group a pastor. So you think about your pastor and four more, and one sitting there and saying, I've had a problem with sex with animals. You're like, see ya. No, people need to be delivered. I'll never forget what's the one guy, Kirk Franklin, was on TV, and they were talking about this huge conference they were having, and we want you to come, and we're going to have a powerful time. And they were way up, you know, on scale 100. And Kirk Franklin said, hey, guys, I'm dealing with lust. And they looked at him like he was a green-eyed monster, and they just went on to a whole nother conversation. But if we don't have people to cover us and to support us, and other than that, he's going to be out there dancing like Michael Jackson. And I saw him on TV holding his private part. Come on Sunday's Best. We have to be able to deal with our sexuality. our, and we have to make it plain, our vaginas and our the people that have penises are, what is that, what? Star said they, this is a hard message today, but they are members of Christ because they're part of our body. But nobody wants to talk about sex. It's like it's taboo, but it's who we are, and that Belial spirit will try to come and try to visit us. David was a man after God's own heart, and the Word of God says after he sinned with Bathsheba, the Lord said his heart from there on was what? Turned towards God. But he said he lost his firstborn child, and he said, because of your sin, it will visit all of your sons. So Absalom did what? Slept on the roof with David's concubine. And that was what was prophesied by the prophets. So we have to be able to understand God's word when he gives and he says that he wants it done a certain way, that sexual perversion, it's become rampant. And these are perversions according to the word of God. There's spirit of inversion, there's spirit of perversion, which includes homosexuality. Why? I know I had talked to one lady and she was showing me pictures of her friends, and they had been inside of the I forget the nightclub. All five of them were in their underwear, and she was showing me that they had, I think one of them or two of them had died, and I'm like, they had had an orgy in a hotel room. We might want, it might be tight, but it's right. And then with, we have in lesbianism, that is actually operating under the strong man of Belial. And, you know, I think I was thinking about most people who have been into the homosexual lifestyle have been molested as children. And a Belial spirit, it brings, as we talked about earlier, date, rape, and it brings death. Can you imagine a 3 or 4 year old little girl being molested? And there's no life. They may still be alive, but it brings that death. And their soul dies. And that's what the enemy wants to do. But the strong man, it's referred to even in the word of God as sodomy. Because there's a sodomizing there. So it's defined as, even looking at that, it's just a compilation with a member of the same sex or with an animal, which goes back to what that one pastor was dealing with, which is bestiality. Come on, church. God doesn't want us to have sex with animals. He just doesn't. You can love your pet, but you can't have sex with it. Who's going to talk about that from the pulpit? But these are the things that we're dealing with all over the world. Excuse me, especially young ladies who are into sex trafficking. Some of the things that they're doing, you wouldn't even want to know. Because what happens is, one of our questions we had Saturday night, which we talked about sex toys, and but one of the points is, I'm going to ask you this. If you're married, do you think, we're talking about right and wrong, do you think that you and your husband should sit up and watch R-rated, X-rated movies with five people having sex with one another, or two women, two men, to get you to another height of sensitivity? No, that desensitizes you. It's a part of the world. That is why Rome fell. That's why if you read the book of Romans, it's when they got into sexual perversion. It's like every road leads to Rome. They were the empire. But when they opened up to this Belial spirit, this Asher, this spirit of the Asherah pose, that's what it brings forth, death. It brings destruction. So basically, it's even going with that, we already discussed the anal and the oral sex that goes with that, with the opposite sex. And this term, and we all know, is sodomy. It's against the law in the United States for a man to sodomize another man, especially for an older man to take a younger man and sodomize him. That's sick. It's perversion. But it's becoming acceptable in our community, but we need to be able to stand up. And it talks about that five times within the Old Testament. We even see the Sodomites. Where were they in the world? They were in the temple. They actually had temple prostitutes. And I even think about Eli's son with Hophnis and Phinehas. They were having sex with the women outside, and God killed them. And we're like, God is not a God of judgment. God is a God. He loves. He corrects. But he wants us, when we don't do what's right, it's like a child. They have to be able to what? To correct it and repent. But they were temple prostitutes, and they were part of the worship of the what? The idol gods. Of fertility, even in Canaan, and some of these things that we're taking into our homes, and you know, you have to be careful with all of these idols. You know, I remember when Vicky had, I said, don't bring all these African things down to here to the book. These people here in Africa, they will tell you, don't mess with this one, don't do that. You don't know. Oh, I could go on and on the stories that we've told where these things have come from. You know, we were in one country, I forget, they were wanting to give us a big old ostrich egg, but it was, you know, ostrich egg is fine, we know it's big, but it was offered up to a fertility god. And those things open up the door even for you for people to miscarry, not to reproduce with these night husbands or even men, if you're on the line, these night wives, if you have women coming to you at night and trying to seduce you, you need to clean your spirit. We have to clean our houses in the body of Christ so that we can be pure and be an example. But these were just vile acts. They were part of the idol worship. This was with the Canaanites in Canaan. Let's look at, 1 Samuel, and then I know we're kind of going over 2:12, and then we'll do 22. But it says, now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. Now, Eli was a very old man, and he heard everything his sons did to Israel. So this is another thing. We have to correct our children. And he didn't do anything about it. They were disgracing God in the temple. And then it goes on in verse 22, and it says that his sons did all to Israel. And how they were laying with women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meetings. So they, the sons of Eli, they're representing our ministry. And here in Africa, they're like, oh, this is such a needed message. All of our pastors and some one church we went to, they said, all these ministers, they come here and they come and they go home and they chase these women and promise them this and that, and they have so many women. But what it does is opens up the door to these spirits. So they all, even they along with Eli, they were in charge of the priesthood. They were regulating the temple. They were even the sacrifices of Israel. But what happened? Their abuse, going back to that word, their abnormal use, it brought judgment on from God, because from the Lord upon them. And even the establishment of the new order under Samuel. And I was sitting there thinking, Hannah gave Samuel to Eli, and Eli raised him. But we have to make sure we're right, even with our children or our grandchildren. And even when you read Samuel, I was reading a couple of months ago, just kind of reflecting, and even Samuel, he didn't even raise his children to serve God. So we have to continue to impart. We can't get so caught up because there's a generation that's waiting on us. But their abuse, it brought judgment. And so they had a new order. And the sons are, what are they called? Who knows? What are his sons called? They're called sons of Belial. If you look at the scripture, Eli's sons are sons of Belial, that spirit that comes in, that rapes the women and rapes the men, that has sex with beasts and with animals, that date rapes girls and put those, they used to call them Mickeys, and they used to call them, what those other things they put in ecstasy. It's a spirit to try to just to take over. But they were being motivated and controlled by the spirit of Belial. And we have to remember the works of Belial is to bring uncleanliness into the temple of God. And this is why me and Star, we were saying we've been, I think we did three this past week of just our panels with we had ladies meeting. We had a few men that were in it, but we have to be able to talk with our people and just expose this demon that's trying to take the church down and are at the gates of our churches. And I believe that the pastors have just not been taught. It has become culturally acceptable. Definitely, you know, I had shared when I was a little girl, we had four or five Baptist ministers that one was caught in the bedroom with a woman and the pastor. I mean, he was the pastor, and the husband came and shot him, and one of the pastors right behind my aunt, he had, I think, four or five wives and women. He had one of them in the choir with three or four kids, and one morning he just got up in the pulpit, and he lost his mind and started saying everybody he slept with. That Belial spirit took him over, that spirit of lust. And I tell our men, if we have any men on the phone, don't let your little head overpower your big head. You need to think on the Word of God and what does God say about what you're doing. And because that Belial spirit has come to try to take you out. So we see that Belial is just a spirit of uncleanliness. And I know that with our ministries, that one of the things Star and I were saying, we really want to try to reach more of our pastors so that we can talk to them about it and be more open, because it's just, it's desirous to draw the servant of God away from the Lord. Because what is it going to do? It's going to affect his anointing. And it's especially through the sin, what is it going to do? It's going to bring reproach to the church. And we see even that in the Word of God, the priest, it'll bring about a greed spirit. They were guilty of greed and making themselves fat, eating off the fat of the land. But I want to close with this one scripture. If you could see. First Samuel 2:25, it said, if one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed to the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them. And he told them, you can't live that way. You can't live a promiscuous life, a promiscuous lifestyle. Well, you know, the world is saying, oh, that's just not a God. You're being judgmental. Give me a little wine. Give me a little sex. You know, the old thing, what they used to say, I don't run with people who are too, or something like that. I mean, that was, but we have to realize and understand that sexual sin is the only sin that's against our body. So we want to talk about this more, about the true apostles and evangelists, and go on and get more in detail with how it's just, blasphemes against God, and talking more about the spirits of Asherah that are taking over our nation, and just what else God has to say about this particular Belial spirit and the Ichabus and Succubus spirit. So we're going to pray today if anybody on the line has been into masturbation, or if you're a virgin and you think anal sex or oral sex, that's appropriate. Or if you're married on the line and you're watching pornography with your husband, or if you're a woman, you're watching it, or man watching it with your wife, you know, God, he doesn't want that, and that's not into the house of God. That's not what undefilement means. A lot of people say, oh, you can do whatever you want to do. I know even I had a lady who worked in the emergency room, and she was saying that in the homosexual community, they have so many people they have to cut open their anuses to get. One lady said they had a broomstick up there, a corn cob, and one lady was saying one of the things that they're from bleeding, from the anal bleeding, they're having to get stitches. And I think sometimes stars like, oh, sometimes we just need to get shock in the body crisis. We live in a bubble, and we don't know what's going on out there, but some people in the church are actually doing this. People don't know. Just like Saturday, the women here in Mozambique, they were like, well, what do I do? You know, I slept with this man and that man, and I got this child by this one and that one, and I'm doing this, and these spirits, these flying witches are coming in, you know, having sex with me at night. I'm like, we need to bind all this up. And we actually had a fire. And I said, they wrote all this down and we burned it. There's a scripture that talks about just releasing that, which we know the fire of the Holy Spirit, where we did it symbolically so that people could get released. And the one man that was there, and we never did find out who he was, but he wrote everything down on this paper, and he was said through the interpreter he had to go to work early. I told him to go ahead and put it in the fire so God couldn't remember it anymore. And we prayed that they were cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And I happened to look in the back, out the back door, and he was standing there holding that paper. And he was praying over it, just like going to communion. And then I looked out the side window, and he threw it in the fire to be released. In our meeting we did the other day, they said, we've never had anybody sit down and really talk to us. I mean, one of my goddaughters said, I never had anybody sit down and tell me what I should do. And she, you know, she's married this person, and they believe in this and that. And you know, so we just have to teach one another. We have to, like, what does the Bible say about our spiritual being? What does the Bible say about us being sexual? Who are we? Because it has a great factor on who we are. Why is it when a pastor falls and he commits adultery or she commits adultery, everybody's like, oh, and they're opposite, because it's not what God wants. And people know, the world even knows that, but we need to be able to help our pastors when they fall, to lift them up or catch them. You say, oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that. We were doing this, but we're gonna stop. Because it's about being taught and letting people know what is going on in the actual spiritual realm in these particular areas. And some of these things they're not acceptable. So we're going to pray today for you if you've been having spiritual wives or sexual beings attacking you in your sleep, spirit husbands or spirit wives or the ick of the succubus spirits, and we'll be talking more about that if the Lord leads that for next time, or whatever it is, your past, or maybe you've had sex with 20 women. God is saying today marks a new day. What's today's date?
The 22nd of August.
Or maybe you've had sex with 30 men or 20 men. Mm-hmm. Or I was sharing this this weekend. I had a pastor. We used to have 6 a.m. prayer, and he was at the church, and he came to our prayer. And he said, I haven't told my wife this. He said, I haven't told anybody.
He said, I think he was 5 or 6 years old. He said, my uncle used to sodomize me. And he would come to my house at night, and I guess they would stay with him. And he said, I just need to tell somebody. And we said, sit down. And we prayed with him, and we prayed in the spirit. And you could hear him scream. He screamed so loud. Can you imagine 5 or 6 years old being sodomized by your uncle in your bottom? Come on, we got to deal with these issues. And nobody's saying anything. And we're wondering why so many people are acting out and doing the same thing, because those Belial spirits have been released in them. And just like we talked about, when a man's sperm goes into a woman, that DNA is in that person. I wonder about the DNA of a male, of that going into that little boy. He that's what a Belial spirit comes to do. And he was in his 30s, maybe 20s. It had had him so dead inside. It was affecting his marriage. But he felt a place that he could come and trust and share what he had gone through and what he was going through. And even if somebody's on the line, maybe your husband is asking you to go into all these perverted acts and do all these things, or abuse, or God wants to see today these Belial spirits, people being free from them. So we're going to pray, and Star has a whole, she's been doing some more study, and we've been doing a lot of teaching on this, especially with her purity and trying to tell people, you know, you need, you know, to remain pure. But some of these young kids, even here in the home, you know, it's just amazing. You know, they went yesterday to get one of the children that was at the dump, or living out of a cardboard box. You know, they're taking these kids here and selling them. I mean, it's all over the world. They say Seattle, Washington is one of the biggest hubs with the trafficking there, and they're really trying to cut down on all of this. But people are getting fake documents and passports and taking these kids and selling them for perversion. And you know, it's all over. Where we were in Lesotho, and we were at the red light district when we were in Singapore. They had little kids, basically, young girls. One street was from girls from Indonesia, one from China, those from Singapore, and Korea. And we seen airplane pilots getting off their planes, going down there having sex, and go back home to their wives. The devil is a liar. We need to take over our territory and get all of our children back, and even our own lives back, our pastors and our leaders that have been out there and doing perverted things as pimps, and those spirits carrying over to make sure they walk into deliverance, so the enemy won't come in to try to bring them in with that Belial spirit. So let's just have Star pray. I don't know what time. Oh, your Star's already played. We're on this Mozambique internet, so we happen to buy time here. But we're gonna, because I didn't realize it was an hour and a half, unless I'm looking at my watch wrong. But it's something needed, so we're all walking in purity, and salvation is progressive. We walk a little bit here and more and more and more and more and more. And it's just not once saved, always saved. We have to walk out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. And the whole key for the blessing is holiness. Come on. Reuben could have made it, but he wanted to sleep with his daddy's, you know, with his concubine.
So he lost his blessing, and it went to Joseph. Let us not lose our blessing. Holiness is the way. I mean, it is the way. And so we just pray. It starts that she already prayed in the beginning, but we're just going to make some declarations. It's in your marriage, you know, even those of you who are married, maybe your husband or your wife has had several sexual partners, and those spirits come up, you know, when you're having sexual intercourse, or maybe those anger spirits, and people don't know why they're angry. Those are spirits. There was a young man who killed his girlfriend, stabbed her blunt just numerous times, but he had started engaging sex with her. She had an anger problem. That anger problem was transferred to him, and his mother said he was never like that. So those spirits, they can be transferred as well. And so we just decree and declare, if you've been having visitations at night with sexual spirits arousing you in your sleep, that those are cast down. And we all know we have the shield of faith. It's by the blood of Jesus. If you've been in orgies or whatever, we just cast all that perversion down in Jesus' name, and we decree holiness, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're having within your womb or within your stomach tumors or things like that. It shows those night spirits that have sex can actually release things like that into your body. So we decree that those things are removed in Jesus' name, because they have no authority there. And even those that have been in oral sex, that your mouth is decree the word of God, not for sperm to go in your mouth or be swallowed in your body. Those are perverted things the enemy has set up for you. And maybe as a child, you were molested. God says that's your past. Let that go. And even in your quiet time today, if you want to write that down, and all those people who molested you, or maybe it was a brother who got in the bed with you, or whatever, God wants you to write those names down. You can burn them in the fire. You don't have to do that, because you know you're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And maybe you're single and you're masturbating or using dildos. That is not what God wants you to do, because you're opening up to those spirits. Or maybe you're imagining different, you know, vaginas or penises, or you are having sex and masturbating and seeing people. You are doing that and you're inviting spirits to enter into your room. Or maybe you're watching pornography. You're inviting those sexual demons. You don't know who those people are on those videos. They could be helter-skelter. They could be, you don't know who they are, what they're doing. They're on those videos, and you're inviting their spirits into your body while you're in, because basically what you're doing, they're taking their soul and intertwining it with other people. And it's bringing a soul tie. You want to know what that soul tie is? That's what it is. You're tied like a knot to that other person, and all these perversions that are being released, and that's entering into you from this perversion you're seeing of these sick people that are actually, it's a mental illness, really is what it is. Because the devil has taken your mind. But you have to know you're forgiven and you're covered by the blood, and anything that the enemy has tried to bring against you, it's canceled. And the Bible says we perish for lack of knowledge. Maybe you never knew. You know, there's sins of omission and commission. And God is saying, you know, okay, maybe you didn't know this. We talked to a girl. She said, I didn't know about the spirit husbands and Ichabus and succubus spirits and all of that. And she said, the first I've ever heard of it. Well, maybe you didn't know, but was experiencing this. So we're going to close for now. And as I said, we've gone over And in Jesus' name, I just think we ever give you an assignment to take during your quiet time to write all of it down. And it doesn't be between you and the Lord. And just release it to Him. All your sexual, you know, partners, your perversion, you can burn it or give it to the Lord. And just know your body's clean. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. The blood prevails. And don't dwell on it. No guilt. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If anybody wants to say anything, but we're going to need you to hang up.
I would just good morning, good evening, good afternoon to everyone because you're around the world. This is Dr. Sugar Trask, and my first cousin passed away on yesterday in Dallas. And if you could just lift the family up in prayer.